Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Just a reminder that Diet Starts Tomorrow is a podcast for entertainment purposes only. It is not a medical podcast and does not constitute medical advice. Always seek the advice of a physician or a health professional.
Hello and welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Lauren.
And I am Emily. How's everybody doing? We good?
We're good. How are you? That's my impression of the listeners.
You guys can't talk back. Lauren, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Have you seen, we're just getting right into it because this is our Thursday episode. It's our shorter episode. Have you seen this viral cookie croissant? It's been everywhere. Apparently it like started at this French bakery in Paris and now everybody's making them.
So it's a croissant that's made out of a cookie?
I'm sorry, a cookie?
A cookie?
Oh, it's a croissant that, you know how like an almond croissant has that almond filling in it? It's, at least this is my interpretation, it's like a croissant that essentially has a cookie, like, filling in it.
Oh, like a jelly donut? Like, you think it's a donut and then there's gunk in it?
No, let me pull up a photo. Cookie croissant. It's everywhere, and since you work in social media, I'm kind of shocked that you haven't seen it. Oh, they're calling it a crookie.
A crookie.
Yeah. So, it started at this Parisian bakery, and it kind of became a thing that people were doing on TikTok, like going to Paris to try the cookie croissant. I mean, I don't know
if
they were.
I've got a budget for that. If I'm hungry for some, I want some pasta. I'm going to go to Italy, BRB.
It's like when people talk about going to Paris to go to the pharmacy, like to get the French skincare products. It's like, all right, you're definitely out of my tax bracket right now in this conversation.
Not relatable.
Okay, it kind of looks like this. Like, so it's, I was wrong. It's not really a filling. It is half cookie and half croissant.
That looks weird to me. What I'm looking at, listeners, is a croissant that is somehow a chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, it's both things at once. So I, after seeing about 10,000 of these videos, like trying the viral cookie croissant, after seeing so many of these videos, I was like, I need to bring this in for food pinions.
Yeah.
My food pinion today, and I feel like this is going to ruffle a lot of feathers.
Tell us how you really feel, Emily.
The cookie croissant. Nobody asked for this. Nobody needs this. Can we just keep different pastries separate? Can we keep croissants, croissants? Can we keep cookies, cookies? I felt the same way about the cronut. Do you remember the cronut?
I like the cronut.
I thought the cronut was atrocious.
To me, the cronut is two things that are in the same family. They're more related. A croissant and a donut.
A breakfast pastry.
Yummy. A cookie and a croissant. See, I can't even say it the French way.
A croissant?
A croissant. What was that?
A croissant.
A quacker?
That Southern lady goes to Paris. That could be a new character.
Can I have a croissant? But to me, a cookie and a croissant is like two totally different decadent things that like don't necessarily need to go together. Like I'm following your food opinion.
Lauren, I like the way you think because you're right. You're so right. The croissant, it's such a different flavor profile than a chocolate chip cookie.
Butter,
but also it's not really supposed to be sweet. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit sweet, but not too sweet. You know, it's supposed to be flaky and buttery and kind of, in a way, neutral.
Yeah.
A chocolate chip cookie is decadent. It's ooey gooey.
Yeah, it's like, dessert.
It's dessert. So when you combine the two, we have created a Frankenstein's monster of a pastry that is neither a cookie nor a croissant. It's this weird thing in the middle.
It's unnatural, damn it.
It's unnatural. I don't like the two mingling. And I hope this doesn't, you know, age poorly, but I just think we need to keep our desserts separate.
Oh my God.
And I feel this way. I feel like I'm being baited constantly.
Yeah.
Because I'm on Instagram and every other post is like, guys, you need to make pizza muffins at home. And I'm like, no.
What is a pizza muffin?
It's like people combining two things for, it's clickbait. You know what I mean? Have you seen recipes like this? Like, you need to try the scallion pancake frittata. And it's like, okay, like that might be
that
good.
That sounds good.
That doesn't sound bad. That's a bad example. Okay, fine. You need to try this scallion pancake dumpling parfait. And it's like, nobody asked for that. Nobody asked for that.
I love that your food opinion is, who asked for this? That's the best food opinion you could ever have.
I mean, I didn't. I don't remember asking for
it. I have a question.
Yeah.
Have you tried them?
No, I haven't tried it. And here,
I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm saying, like, it could be fun to taste test.
So here's the thing. And this is why I'm happy that I have you here, because I feel like you bring up the important points when I start to see red. Like when my vision goes blurry and I'm like, the cookie croissant, why? You know, I feel like having you here grounds me.
Oh.
If I tried it, deep down, I know for a fact I would like it.
Really?
Yeah, because I have a major sweet tooth. So like any kind of concoction that you give me, I'm probably going to like it, right? I just don't think it's necessary. Okay. I don't think I would choose it over a chocolate chip cookie or a croissant.
You know, want to be happy, but you don't want to be too happy.
I don't want to be, I don't want my sense, I don't want, it's sensory overload. I don't want my feel-good hormones, my dopamine to be like off the charts.
Do you think it's going to make it less like a pleasurable food experience and more like a, like, oh my God, I'm putting crack food in my veins. And
I do feel like that.
Yeah.
I do feel like that.
That's a fair feeling.
I feel like that with all of these clickbaity Instagram recipes that, and I know that that's why they exist, because they get a lot of attention and mm-hmm. not everybody likes them. So am I being a hater? Yeah. And that's exactly what this person wanted who posted the pizza muffin recipe.
Yeah.
You know, but I just see them and I'm like, who needs that? A pizza muffin, you've completely lost the plot. You've completely lost what a pizza is. A pizza is crust, cheese, and sauce.
And it comes in the shape of a flat earth, and that is the only...
And I am a flat earther.
And I'm coming out. Listen, don't bite my head off. I have a counterpoint.
Okay.
So what this is making me think of is fudge, because I love fudge.
Do you?
But I fucking love fudge.
See, that's so funny, because when I go to Fire Island or like when I go to a beach town, there's always a fudge shop. Yeah. And I'm like, who asked for this?
Pecan praline, Lauren Hope Crass asked, okay? But it is a Southern thing. Like, we have all those little like Market Street sweets and they're so good. But the thing is like, as an intuitive eater, I don't want to eat more than like two bites of fudge. Right,
tiny little
square. Like, oh my God, this is so good. But, like, I would feel sick if I ate a brick of fudge.
For sure.
So maybe the cookie croissant is like fudge, where it's like, this tastes so good, but, like, maybe you don't want to eat a whole cookie croissant.
I could see that. I actually think that is what it is for many people. Like, mm-hmm. it's just a thing that you can sample and try and film a video of, and it was... Honestly, it's probably clickbait
food.
It's like it was invented for engagement.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's kind of what bothers me about these Instagram recipes is like, they don't look good. Like, stop telling me that this is good. It's not good. It's too much. We're gilding the lily. Mm-hmm. And I know that, like, maybe that's not the fun opinion to have, but it's
I'm having fun.
Thank you. because you're watching me sweat and you're watching me like I went from 0 to 60 over a fucking
somebody
dessert.
Over here had some energy drinks.
I did have a little bit of.
Oh, yeah, we did some energy drink shooters.
We took an energy drink shot. I need Lauren to be caffed up at all times now. It's my new thing.
We're an unwellness podcast now.
That should be the new name.
It feels like cat food has been the same forever. Smelly, boring, made of mystery ingredients. That's why you've got to try Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge. And it's delivered right to your door. Make the switch from kibble and give your cat a meal they'll love. We actually sent some to my friend who is fostering kittens, and it is the only thing they will eat. It comes in these pate packages, and you scoop it, and you just feel like you're a chef for your baby kitties, and they j'adore it. it. Your cute kitty is descended from ferocious desert cats who hunted live prey. Even if your cat prefers to nap all day, they still need fresh, protein-packed meals for a balanced and healthy diet. Other brands fill their food with mysterious meat byproducts, artificial flavoring, and preservatives with names I don't even want to try to pronounce. After switching it up to Smalls, 90% of cat owners reported overall health improvements. That's major. The team at Smalls is so confident your cat will love their product that you can try it risk-free. That means they'll completely refund you if your picky cat won't eat their food. Now is the time to make the switch to Smalls. Head to smalls.com/DST and use promo code DST at checkout for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use my code DST for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code DST for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping, baby.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there. And they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life. So it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So this does remind me of my food opinion, if we can get into it. So my food opinion, it's very controversial.
I'm strapping in.
Is that I, Lauren Hope Crass, am fat phobic when it comes to cookies. Okay, the thinner the better. I don't want a thick cookie. I don't want those Levain Bakery.
I was going to ask you about those. Yeah, no, that's an abomination.
That is a biscuit. That is...
A scone.
It's like a bready scone or maybe some chocolate or like cacao is in it. Like it's not, we're saying so many brands. This like episode, listen to it now before we have to take it down.
Burn it to the ground.
But like my favorite cookie brand, and I had to like really keep myself reined in when we had Izzy on because I was like, oh, this is literally a food opinion segment and I'm just going to not say anything.
Like you could talk for an entire episode about this.
Yes.
Okay, what's your favorite cookie brand?
So my favorite cookie brand is Insomnia Cookies because to me, that is a cookie. It is like, what would you say? Like almost a centimeter thick.
Yeah.
It's soft, but yet somehow crispy. The snickerdoodle flavor is my fave. But the chocolate chip, also very good.
Very good. And I used to get Insomnia Cookies a lot.
And you can enjoy every bite. Like you don't, it's not like a chore to eat it, or it's not like a sensory crack overload where you're
one
like.
One thing I hate when eating a cookie is a chore. When you feel like, oh, gotta get through this cookie.
I feel like people brainwash themselves into liking these big giant cookies that like don't even taste good.
Are you talking about, so Levain, that's an extreme example because you need to look up these cookies,
also,
listener,
Chip
if you
City.
Don't know it.
We're saying lots of brands.
I don't know Chip City.
They're all over the city and people love them and I don't understand why. It is like a point of contention with my friends because it's right, there's one in Astoria and anytime we're like, oh, we got to go to Chip City. And I'm like, why? To eat a big fat cookie that doesn't taste good.
So how big is it?
It's like a little smaller than Levain.
You're talking about thickness, by the way. You're not talking about size, no, diameter.
I love a cookie cake.
Same. Okay, so this is my vision of a perfect cookie, okay? Mm-hmm. It's about yay big, so like maybe 6 inches?
Yeah.
And about that thick.
That's too thick.
See, I like
Emily's,
a thick.
Emily's showing so, like a little bit bigger than a centimeter. I like
Yeah, it's
less.
Like a centimeter, maybe. Yeah, like a tad more than a centimeter. Mm-hmm. So you like it like that, half like that.
Not like a Tate's. Tate's are too.
Tate's are way too
Tate's
thin.
Tate's are too thin. So no, Tate's. We are body shaming cookies. Tate's are so, too thin.
Too thin, like they need help.
Levain, too fat.
Needs a diet.
No. We're going off the rails. Levain needs to love itself the way it is, and so does Tate's, but I'm not going to eat them.
Yeah, well, everybody has preferences.
My preference?
No, Tate's are so bad. Tate's remind me almost of like I almost said Cap'n Crunch, like his formal name. It's Cap'n Crunch. Cap'n Crunch, like how it cuts the roof of your mouth. It's so mm-hmm. crispy.
It's too crispy.
It's like it's like gravel in your mouth. And I've gotten multiple injuries from eating Cap'n Crunch. Will not eat that cereal. That's what Tate's is.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how it got so popular. The one that I keep seeing all over the internet is crumble cookies. People are obsessed with crumble cookies. Have you had these?
I'm not familiar.
Yeah, no, I've never had one either, but I feel like I need to go try it because people love it. So my idea of a perfect cookie, it is about a centimeter, I would say. Mm-hmm. But I like it to be medium rare. Like, I like the center of the cookie to be almost like a cookie dough.
Okay.
And I like the outside to be fully baked.
Okay.
And it's very particular, but to me, that's like the perfect cookie because that's the best of both worlds.
I can fuck with that cookie.
Right?
I think my perfect cookie is medium well because I do like a little bit of a crisp, mm-hmm. but I do want some softness in there too.
It's got to have some goo.
The beauty standard I have for cookies is unattainable, I'm realizing. Like, you have to be thin, but not too thin, but don't mm-hmm. be fat. And, you know, I want some crisp, but don't be fully cooked. I need a little bit of softness. It's like that.
You need chocolate chips, but not so many chocolate chips that it distracts from the beauty of the cookie itself.
I'm the America Ferrera Barbie monologue, but about cookies, where she's talking about you have to do all these things.
There is no one cookie that pleases everybody because everybody is so particular when it comes to cookies. We all have our own expectations that we're projecting onto these cookies, and no cookie can ever satisfy them. And that kind of makes me feel bad for the cookie.
Well, they're not sentient.
They don't feel anything.
So it's okay.
Yeah, I shouldn't waste my emotions on that. Great food opinion, Lauren.
Thank you.
Do you feel like you got to say your piece?
I do feel like I got to say my piece. Would also like to mention, not fat phobic when it comes to literally everything else, only cookies.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I'm fat phobic towards. I feel like pizza, I need it to be thin crust. Mm-hmm. So I guess I am a little fat phobic when it comes to pizza.
I'm all shapes and sizes, baby.
Really?
Pop in my DMs. Whatever kind of pizza you are welcome in my body.
Well, also, if there's a bakery that wants to sponsor us and send us cookie croissants, I will try it on air. And if I'm wrong, I love being proven wrong. If I'm wrong and this is the best thing and it becomes my favorite new dessert, I mean, that would be great press for the cookie croissant industry.
I think we're going to have to test one, whether we find a sponsor or not, because now I'm dying to know your thoughts since you have like the really hardcore food opinion.
I came in hot.
But we haven't tried them. So we're going to have to try them.
Like, what if I try it and then that's my hyper fixation breakfast for like the next year? It's very possible.
Then we'll go on that journey together.
Yeah. Weird things have happened. Let's get into our Dear DST today. I'm feeling really optimistic about this one. I feel like we can solve this person's problems.
We can help you.
Do you want to read it?
Yeah, I would love to. Dear DST, thank you so much for all that you do. Oh, you're welcome. I am new to DST. Welcome. Sorry. I really like it when people are nice to me. I'm new to DST and intuitive eating, but I've listened to a lot of your episodes already. And in an effort to work on rejecting diet culture, I've already noticed such a mind shift. Good job. I can't read these. And just as important, I've had a huge reduction in the amount of shame that I feel around my 15-year struggle with eating disorders and disordered eating.
Wow.
Particularly around binge eating. I feel hopeful for the first time that this doesn't have to be a problem in the future and that I could have kids without passing my disorder on to them. I was wondering how much I should tell my partner about my struggles with food and body image and about my journey with intuitive eating as it unfolds. We've talked a few times about my past eating disorders, and I told him a little bit recently about how I realized I needed a reset with how I think about food, and he's supportive and wants to be there for me however he can. I don't want to burden him with too much talk about something that's probably better left to a professional, but I don't want to feel like I'm hiding anything either. Sometimes I also want to share wins that I have, like eating fear foods without restricting or binging, but I don't know how that would sound to someone who's never experienced disordered eating. How do you determine how much to share with people in your lives? Thank you. Sincerely, Quiet Betch.
Thank you, Quiet Betch, for writing in. This is such a universal issue. I feel like when you're dating people, you never want to scare them off or unload too much information on them too early. However, this is clearly something that has affected much of your life. I mean, 15 years with eating disorders, and now you're starting this new journey to heal your relationship with food. It's a big thing, and it affects every part of your life. So you need to be transparent with your partner about that, because that's somebody who is a part of your life. You didn't say how long you've been dating him, but I will tell you, in my experience, I didn't ever tell anybody I was dating about my history with eating disorders because I didn't want to burden them. And then when I was in therapy, I remember having a conversation with my therapist about it. And she asked me, like, why don't you talk about it? Why won't you tell, like, if you're on a date? Because things would come up, you know, they'd want to go for pizza and I'd be feeling weird about eating pizza that day or but not want to say anything and always wanting to come off as the cool girl who never struggled with food.
Right.
And that was preventing me from achieving intimacy with those people because it's such a huge part of my life. It's such a huge part of my identity. They could never really know the real me. So when I was talking to my therapist about it, she asked why, you know, why won't you share this? And I didn't understand that at the time. I think I basically was like, oh, I don't want it to be awkward. I don't want to unload on them. Yeah. I don't want to be a burden. And she said to me, and I'll never forget it. She said, Emily, don't you want somebody to really know you?
Yes.
And
I was just going to say, it sounds really lonely to have these types of struggles and for someone that close to you to not know about them or be a part of them. Like I would want my, like, I feel lonely when a close friend doesn't quite understand why the word obesity is, like, stings me, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's lonely. Like, so it makes sense that you would want your partner to be able to share and, like, the things that are triggering you and also, like, your wins. Like, I love that she wants to be able to celebrate with him.
Yeah. You know? No, it's very cute and, like, that should be something that you can share with your partner. It just, it's so much better that way. And I will say that I told Andy about my entire struggle with food on our third date. Mm-hmm. And this is another reason why I think it's really important to share this stuff. The way that he responded to it taught me so much about him.
Wow.
It wasn't just that I was unburdening myself with this thing. It was the way that there were so many people, and there were so many people I had seen before that I feel like they would have responded in a completely different way.
Yeah.
The way that he responded to me telling him that, it taught me like what a thoughtful person he is, and the way that it didn't faze him. Mm-hmm. It just it put all my fears at rest. Like the fears that I had that I would scare somebody off completely went away because it just wasn't a thing to him. It was just like, okay, like that's really amazing that you did that on your own. And, you know, I really admire that. And I think he even said, we were talking about being younger and the differences between being a skinny guy, like in high school and stuff, and being a fat girl in high school. And I had this attitude that And I know that this is not correct. I know that I was not right. But because of my experience, I would look at a skinny person and I'd be like, you don't have any problems.
Right.
Like, if a skinny person was complaining about literally anything, I'd be like, what do you have to fucking complain about? Like, there really was an element of that.
Right.
Because they couldn't know my struggle. And I kind of was on a high horse about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Then early on dating Andy, he told me something that changed the way that I thought about it completely, because he was like, I was a super skinny kid. And in high school, you want to be big. Like, as a guy, the male beauty standard is like to be jacked and like to have muscles and be athletic and play all these sports. And I just never did. Like, I hit puberty later. I was just this lanky, skinny, weird kid. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even care if I gained fat on my body. I just wanted to be bigger. I wanted to take up more space.
Yeah.
And I just never thought about that before. So I think, like, it could be an opportunity to share your perspectives and learn from each other also. I just think there's never a reason to hide something from your partner that plays such an important part of your life.
Totally.
Because once you reveal it, you're gonna know pretty immediately if they can meet you on your level.
That's a good point, because, you know, what if, not to take it to a negative place, but, like, what if her partner doesn't respond like that? That's information you're going to want to have, you know? Like,
yeah.
If the fear is, what if he doesn't I guess you want him to just want to try to understand. But if you're met with criticism or with anything negative like that, well, you need to know that.
Yes, you for
know?
Sure.
So to me, the positive spin on this is it's win-win. You know, you bring him in, you read him in on the situation, and he's there for you and invested and curious. That's a win. Or B, you read him in and he doesn't get it and he doesn't want to get it. And then that's a win, because now you can redirect and not waste time on somebody who's, like, not nice.
Right. Yeah, of course. And I already said this, but it doesn't say how long you've been together. You know, you might be in the early stages of dating, or you might live together. It doesn't say here, right?
Well, she says partner, so I'm like, they're pretty serious.
I guess if you're calling somebody your partner, then you're probably fairly serious. But yeah. It's just things are going to come up throughout your life. For many of us, this is a lifelong struggle. If you've had an eating disorder, it just is. There are things that pop up and there are little intricate things, especially when you're in a couple and you're sharing a lot of your meals together. And these things just have a way of coming up, and it's so much better to have somebody there who really knows you and can support you during those tough times. It's not their job to always support you, but I think the right person would want to. So anyway, this is all to say, I think you should bring it up.
Yeah. And then I have a question for you, Emily, which can help quiet Betch. I feel like another way to do it, or in addition to telling him and reading him in, is to also give, because, you know, guys love to fix things.
Oh, yeah.
Guys need actionable steps, you know, because he might just be like, okay, this is really good to know. And then, like, he's going to be like, well, what do I do with this info? So maybe you, when you read him in, you can say, and here are the ways you can support me. And then, Emily, you go with that. What are those ways?
Here are the ways you can support me. Okay, so I never did this. I think that he just learned how to support me over time. But let me think what I would have said. I might have said, okay, here's a way that you can support me. Sometimes I get anxious about social engagements. There's going to be food, but I don't know what's going to be there. Mm-hmm. Or out to a restaurant where I'm expected to share things, but I don't always feel like eating certain things. Or when people talk about bodies or food in front of me, I sometimes get really awkward and, you know, anxious about that. But just know that if I remove myself from the situation, then do some deep breathing, mm-hmm. then I can calm myself down and the anxiety will subside. And, like, we could have a conversation about it later if I want to talk it out. I think he just kind of learned that stuff over time. Mm-hmm. But if I was going to give him a warning, I would have said that, I think.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
So, we think you should read him in.
And everybody's different. Everybody's, you know, everybody responds to this stuff differently. But that might be a good thing to do, is just, like, when I'm in this situation, mm-hmm. sometimes it affects me like this. And it's because I had an eating disorder for 15 years that I'm still recovering from, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like a PowerPoint presentation.
Right.
Like you can, so one of the ways you can read him in is like Emily was saying with Andy, like over time, you know? So as like wait for a trigger to come up and then be like, okay, this is a great example of something that's a win for me. Or this is an example of something that is really hard for me, you know? Mm-hmm. And then over time, he can kind of show compassion and be there for you.
Yeah. I also think one more thing. I mean, it's important to remember that nobody's perfect. And not that this is a flaw, you know, this is something that you went through that affects you. It's not a flaw at all. But, you know, everybody has baggage. And this is baggage. And he might have baggage, but not even know what it is. He might have
his own baggage.
He might have his own baggage, but he might not even know what that baggage is.
Right.
Like, you know how some people start dating someone and then they like get engaged and then meet their family for the first time and they're like, oh shit, this is the baggage. I didn't think there was any baggage. You know, like things can come up at any time.
Yeah.
It's almost better to know what your baggage is and be able to explain it, you know?
Yeah.
Then they know exactly what to expect from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's what I would suggest. And I hope it goes well. Please update us.
Yeah, let us know.
Thank you for writing in, Quiet Betch. That's it for today's episode. Be sure to send your questions to dst@betches.com to get them answered.
Follow us at Everything's Fine on Instagram. If you like this episode, please write us a review. And don't forget to check out our DST merch on shop.betches.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And follow me at Lauren Hope Crass.
Follow me at Lubination. And remember, we're always with you.
Through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Rebecca Steinberg and Lauren Hope Crass. Editing by Rebecca Steinberg. Social media by Lauren Hope Crass. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. Be sure to follow Diet Starts Tomorrow on all socials and send us your emails to dst@betches.com or your voicemails to 212-287-5650.
Betches.